You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is Salam al-Mariati, the president of the Muslim Public Affairs Council. Salam, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Salam, I'm looking at an article on the internet. UC Muslim students get probation fines. I want to talk about that in a bit, but first, for the benefit of our listeners, what exactly is the Muslim Public Affairs Council, and what do you do there?
Well, we're a public policy organization, and we help our public officials, we help opinion shapers as well, in understanding Islam and Muslims so they can make better decisions and write better stories or articles about Islam and Muslims.
Mm-hmm. And what are your duties over there at MPAC?
I'm the president of the organization.
Okay. And what does the president do there primarily?
Since I'm one of the co-founders of the organization from 25 years ago, we have a highly qualified professional staff, so my duties are mainly to engage the community and try to get more support for the organization and be available to all the community needs.
And of course, today that's more important than ever, I would imagine, over your 25-year history.
We've dealt with issues from the Salman Rushdie crisis to Gulf War I to Twin Tower bombing I to the Bosnian genocide to several Middle East wars to the Iranian hostage crisis and all the other crises with Iran to 9/11 and then the second Gulf War and Afghanistan and the Taliban. So this, unfortunately, is part of the regular work that we do, so we're used to it.
Mm-hmm. Apparently what happened was that there were 10 University of California, Irvine students. Were they all Muslim?
Yes.
Okay. And they decided to exercise, I guess, what they thought would be their First Amendment rights and protest a speech by the Israeli ambassador to the United States, Michael Oren. Is that right?
In our country, the idea of student protests is part of the American tradition. I've met with members of Congress who, in the years of their civil rights activism, I've met with federal officials, even the Attorney General himself, Eric Holder, who've told me their stories of sit-ins, of taking over buildings on campuses, of so many other forms of nonviolent protest when they wanted to speak truth to power. And they are what they are today. They're great leaders in our country. And I think these young men from Irvine are following the same tradition. But the district attorney of Orange County, Rakakis, felt otherwise, and he selectively prosecuted them because there's so many protests, obviously, that go on in UC Irvine itself, as well as so many other UC schools throughout California. But this district attorney in Orange County decided to make a political point, and he went ahead with the prosecution. And unfortunately, because the technicality of the matter is there was a disruption of a public gathering, and they coordinated the protest that was technically against the law, which happened to be a misdemeanor, by the way, not a felony. And the jury felt that based on the technicality of the law that they did violate that particular municipal code, and they went ahead and convicted them.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said here in a press release, it's a sad day for democracy when nonviolent protesters are criminalized by their government and are found guilty for exercising a constitutional right. You can heckle the president, you can heckle high-ranking government officials, but if you heckle an Israeli diplomat, you'll be prosecuted. These are Americans exercising their freedoms. This is a democracy, not a dictatorship. Do you think it all has to do with the fact that this guy's an Israeli?
Well, a lot of it has to do with the fact that he's an Israeli diplomat. We see this matter in terms of the Palestinian-Israeli conflict within America from a completely different standpoint from what other Americans see. We see when we are excluded from the political process because we have a pro-Palestinian point of view. We see the elimination back in the 50s of what was called Arabists, people who were sympathetic to the Arab world, and they were basically cleansed out of the State Department. We see people like Senator Charles Percy, who we died last week, by the way, former senator of Illinois, who was basically kicked out of office by the power of AIPAC, the American-Israeli Public Affairs Committee, who decided to target members of Congress and the U.S. Senate if they felt that they were not pro-Israel enough. The political system here is bent towards the pro-Israel stand. And we see all these things. And the UC Irvine case of the 11 students, which was actually down to 10 because one person, the charges were dropped against him. This is simply a continuation of this problem that you can't get a fair hearing. You can't get your word out because you're being viewed as being anti-Israel, which the pro-Israel groups in this country are trying to equate that with anti-Semitism. It's a problem, and we want to explain that to the American public, that this is a problem that everybody should discuss. There should be no intimidation or silencing of either side, whether you're pro-Israel or pro-Palestinian. In fact, what we want is a pro-American stand that is balanced that is objective, that is really the honest broker. But like I said, President Obama was heckled in a Midwestern state. The person was simply escorted out. President Obama was actually called a liar by a member of the U.S. Congress in one of those infamous incidents within the House of Representatives. And that person was just chastised very moderately by his colleagues. You have people throughout California who are heckled all the time. There's not a single prosecution of those people. But the UC Irvine case of these 11 students is being made into a case study, into an example that we should not ever stand up against any Israeli diplomat who comes here, by the way, to justify the aggression against Palestinians and the oppression against the people of Gaza. And that is, to me, very problematic in terms of our democratic tradition as Americans.
I agree, and a case might be made that being anti-Israel is in fact pro-American because of how they've hijacked the entire process in Washington. Anyone can read this and study it and see that this is the case, but of course they have such a well-oiled machine that as soon as you say one little thing about them, they equate that to, of course, the nonsensical term of anti-Semitism.
And if anything, we're trying to help in terms of bringing about a positive image in terms of Muslim-Jewish relations, which helps both of us, helps them in terms of anti-Semitism. It helps us in terms of Islamophobia. As the Palestinians say, they don't have a partner in the peace process because Israel keeps rejecting every peace offer. And then they go to the UN and then they get bashed for not promoting peace. It's the same thing here in America. We try to work with these pro-Israel groups. They don't want to talk. And then when we take a stand, then they call us anti-Semitic.
Right. It's a no-win situation. What exactly did these students do?
They stood up and basically issued a 30-second to one-minute statement against the Israeli ambassador. One by one. And he did, by the way, complete his speech. He was interrupted, but at the end he came back and finished his speech. Our point is that the university disciplined the students, and it should have stopped at that.
But instead, law enforcement came in and prosecuted him.
Law enforcement came in, and there were arrests, and it was made into a big ruckus by Rakakis, the Orange County DA. Again, these were misdemeanor charges, but he made it look like it was the Watergate affair.
And how are these guys doing? It's a damaging verdict because a jury handed down this verdict, and you would think that a jury would be more sensitive to the First Amendment, but apparently they're not when it comes to Israel. How are these people faring, these students?
I saw one of them yesterday. They're in good spirit because they feel like they're on the right side of history. They're on the right side of justice. If Martin Luther King had to deal with going to jail and making a statement, that they feel like they're following his tradition.
Can this be appealed, this jury verdict, or no?
Yes, it can be, and I think it is. The jury is confined, unfortunately, to just the technicalities of the case. They're not aware of the broader issues. They're told, actually, not to even think about the broader issues, not to Google the case. They're told, you have to decide, did they disrupt the peace? Did they coordinate the protest? And if the answer is yes, then unfortunately they have to say guilty. And also, you don't know what the dynamics of the jury is. I can imagine Orange County politics as it is. There's definitely a lot of anti-Muslim bias, and maybe some of the jurors had that. It's hard to tell, and others were convinced that they got to go along with that major sentiment.
Amazing story. Now, your website is, of course, www.mpac.org. That's mpac.org. Can listeners stay up to date with this case from your website, or is there another website that makes more sense?
Of course, that's the best. But I think you can also look up Irvine 11, and there's a website for them.
So, unlike the jury, we are allowed to Google.
Yes.
Unbelievable. You know, I'm hoping that this Israeli ambassador comes to my town because I'd like to disrupt his speech and let him know what I think.
The next time a pro-Israel person disrupts my speech, I'm going to call the cops and see
what
they do.
And you'll get arrested.
Yeah.
Salam al-Mariadi, the president of the Muslim Public Affairs Council, I want to thank you so much for the time you took out explaining all this to the listeners, and looking forward to following the case and how it unfolds and speaking to you in the future.
Thank you so much.